All right, second session. We are considering verses 9 through 13. Well, it's not working. Well, I can't help you there. Now it's going. All right, now, to restate. We're still on YouTube. They haven't kicked us off yet. So if you miss a Bible class or want to pick up some, you can get it live on YouTube. Not live, but you know what I mean. All right, let's reread the verses. The thesis is that salvation for the Jews is not through their racial identity. Salvation for the Jews is through being a Jew, believing in Christ. Even in Old Testament times, Gentiles could become believers, obviously. Well, what was everybody before Abraham? Abraham was designated Hebrew. In other words, like God says, boom, we're going to start up a new race here on earth. And we're starting with you. Before, he was a Semitic Gentile. And from Adam on, it was all... That's why we go from Adam to Abraham. We call that the age of the Gentiles. Abraham to the first advent, or to conclusion of the first advent, we call the age of Israel. And from the day of Pentecost in 33 AD till now and till the rapture, we call the church age. This is the mystery dispensation. This was the dispensation that was, for all intents and purposes, completely hidden from the Old Testament prophets. There was a hint of it, but not, they knew Hosea. That's a good book to go to and read about. That God was going to raise up another people. A new people. Well, nobody could guess who that was. Could it be this nation? Could it be this nation? No. It's people from every nation through time of the church age that are members of this new chosen people. We are a chosen people just as much as they were. And we owe it to them from Abraham forward, and owe it to the others too, that they carried the ball forward and continued with their history with the ups and downs and got things to where the environment was favorable for the Messiah to be born. He was born in the fullness of time. There was a set time. By the way, Abraham looked forward to his day. It's a verse in the New Testament. He looked forward to the first advent. Because, you know, he'd sit around, he thought about a lot of stuff. He thought about, I wonder what it would be like to meet him and see this ultimate descendant. And he longed for his day. But, of course, Abraham died and has been in paradise. The first time Abraham saw Jesus was when Jesus died on the cross, and his soul went to paradise until the third day when he was resurrected. Then he saw him again in his resurrection glory and traveled with him to the third heaven when Christ led captivity captive. You don't think this is an adventure? Like you've never seen? Oh, you may not think down here everything's mundane, the same old stuff, and all the rest of it. No, this is a phenomenal adventure, and we're privileged to be able to live in the church age. It's the elite dispensation, because all believers are royalty. Age of Israel, the only royalty was in the tribe of Judah. That was the tribe of kings. That was the royal tribe. And their symbol was a lion, fittingly, the royal animal. Okay? So we're in that church age, and we're privileged to be living at the final generation. The final, it's got to be. It's just got to be. The final ticks on the clock. Things in our world today have absolutely gone crazy and insane. And it can't continue like this and have any kind of lifestyle that you're currently familiar with. That's why we got to get out of here. And that's called the rapture of the church, in which the Lord will call the dead in Christ, all those that died before us from 33 forward, and those of us who are alive on earth, who are qualified because we believed in Christ. That's all you got to do. You will be resurrected right where you sit, stand, walk, whatever you're doing. Sleeping, it doesn't matter. And then we'll all meet the Lord in the air. And that's when the big party begins. That's when it really gets phenomenal. And it's just around the corner. Things are so bad today, and the prophecies are being fulfilled. I still watch things in Israel. But constantly, this conflict between the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Esau, if I'm correct, that the Palestinians are the remnant of Esau. Now, there's Palestinians in the United States. They're out on the streets protesting Israel, and this is an apartheid regime, and it persecutes us. And nobody says anything when they regularly walk into a Jewish place and kill people. Jews aren't walking into Palestine and shooting Palestinians. They're shooting Palestinians in self-defense, like the police would do if some crazy person with a gun showed up somewhere. So, no. And Jordan is saying the Temple Mount is not for the Jews. That's the country to this. That's another descendant out of all this. The Jordanians, just east of Jerusalem. And they're saying the Temple Mount must be preserved for the, you know, not the Jews. They don't even want them going up on it. Something's going to happen. To bring that, there's two mosques up there. We went into the one with the gold dome on it. That's the big standout feature in Jerusalem. Something's got to happen. We've all speculated, well, maybe an earthquake will just level it. Or maybe there will be an uprising on the part of the Jews and they've had enough as a result of some atrocity committed by the terrorists of Palestine and on up into Syria that will lead to the destruction of this mosque that I believe was built in 691 AD. The second holiest place to the Muslims. Something's got to give. Something big. There's prophecies that says that God will destroy the house of Esau. Now, a Palestinian, and I ran into one. I actually got the privilege of running into one that was a believer in Jesus Christ. He ran a tourist shop with all kinds of little stuff in it, you know. He was from Austin, Texas. He had cowboy boots and a bolo tie. And we, God just so blessed that whole thing. Brenda was looking around at the shop and all the stuff in it, and I was in a conversation with him, and he spoke perfect English. He's from the U.S., but his family ran the shop, and he said, I have to come over here and see if they're running it right every so often. And he said, would you like a beer? And I said, sure. So he rattles off his language to some kid who runs out to get a beer. And I'm looking at the beer. You can't buy it in the stores here, I don't think. It's called Maccabee beer. Judas Maccabeus. I've taught about him. He was the one that rose up against the Greek tyrant in the Intertestament period. He was called Judas the Hammer and threw off the yoke of the oppressive Greek regime out of Syria. And it was clear he was a believer. Now, I was in another shop. It was high-end carpets, throw rugs, Persian, you know. And the proprietor, I knew he wasn't Jewish, he was Arabic. He said, are you a believer? He said that right to my face. I said, a believer in what? He said, Jesus Christ. I said, I sure am. So the gospel makes its penetration. But the thing is, and then of course all the news out of Ukraine, we keep watching that. And that, as related to the bear, the symbol for Russia is the bear in the Bible and otherwise. I remember at one time there was a, I think it was Time magazine. It's one of them. I think it was Time. It showed Russia, this is back during the Soviet era, showed this big bear like this over all this territory. Symbol for Russia. It's a symbol found in the Bible, in Daniel. So this is going to be interesting as it works its way out. Because you see, Russia, when after we're out of here, after we're raptured out of here, then all hell breaks loose on the earth. Nobody escapes it. Russia will take this country out in 1 hour or one day. Every city will be torched. They've got such advanced weaponry, it makes ours look pathetic. All I've read, and this came from CIA analysts, we're way behind the curve in our thermonuclear arsenal. Way behind. We're 30 years behind Russia. Well, we've been acting like idiots and running all over the place and doing this and that and spending our money on all this crazy stuff. They've been building the ultimate arsenal, nuclear. I've read descriptions of some of the weapons. It's staggering. But Russia isn't going to make any kind of move until Jesus Christ pops open that second seal in Revelation. He controls history. The one whom Abraham longed to see his day. Abraham was very smart and intelligent. In fact, Abraham also longed for something else that you will not find in Genesis. He longed for a city whose builder and architect is God. That's the New Jerusalem. He knew about that. He knew about creation number two. When this one is taken completely out, we'll be preserved. It's completely taken out, and a new earth is just be like you taking your car and getting it crushed, except it's worse than that, melt it down to nothing. And a new earth is set in its place. And that's going to be our eternal home, the new earth, with this city unlike anything that's ever existed. Nothing's ever come close to it. It's 1,500 miles square and high. You can put a lot of people in that. So I sit around there, what are we going to do every day? That'll be the fun part. We'll see. All this is in your B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. You know, the fundy little song, little ditty, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. You know, really? We'll see. How about tying this one on, see what you get. Okay, for this is the word of promise. God makes promises. A lot of people make promises. I'll be there. I'll do that. God makes promises, and He keeps every last one of them. Learn what they are. Claim them as a believer. And He fulfills this promise. He promised Abraham certain things, and then He tested him. He brought him right down to where they didn't have a descendant. And he nixed the Ishmael one. And he nixed the other one. Abraham's personal male assistant. He nixed Eliezer of Damascus. Who Abraham was thinking, well, I'll do the adoption thing. And Sarah was the surrogate child. We'll use this mother, but we'll claim the child, and away we go. No. I do things first class. I do not do things second class. God is not, oh, let's do this. No, period. He does His plans first class. And on the human level, it looks like it's threatened. Oh, this is where it's all ground to a halt. That's when it's fun, because God has these attributes, one of which is He's got all power. He can do something no one else can do. He can bring into existence that which does not exist. He can take that which does exist and take it out of existence. Not hide it somewhere, eliminate it. That's creation ex nihilo, out of nothing. And the reverse, when we get the new earth in here. And you're going to sit and watch this earth be taken out. You can read all about it in 2 Peter, I think it's chapter 3. You know, for fun, read your Bible. You won't understand all of it, and I understand that. But the material is here. But you've got better things to do, don't you? More important. To certain, this doesn't apply to all of you, obviously. You got more important things to do. You got to pander to your STA and your lust pattern. You got to have this, and you want this, and you want it now, and you want it this way. Instead of wait on the Lord and let Him bring it to pass. I know it isn't always easy to do, but that's the formula. You wait on the Lord, and you let Him take care of it. He doesn't need your help. You just jump through the deal when the door is open. He opens doors and He closes doors, metaphorically. He takes care of things. He anticipated you and me from eternity past, knew every little thing you'd go through, and made provision for it. And yes, we've been, all of us probably can say, we have been severely tested. Today, all of us, who have been on Bible doctrine for decades, we're sorely tested by what the world we're living in. More than ever, the patience factor that we have to maintain so until we can get out of here. Be extracted from this mess. And forever be with the Lord. Where it's a constant adventure. Because God has things for those of you who take Him seriously that eye has not seen, ear has not heard about. And it hasn't entered into the vivid imagination of man. The things God has prepared for those who hear, love Him. As Shakespeare, in Shakespeare it was, therein lies the rub. For those who love Him. And you don't love God because you run around and say you do. Any more than you love another person because you say you do. It has to be backed up by action. Action. Falls on deaf ears when someone says, oh, I love you. Well, then why did you leave my church, your church? Why'd you leave then? You love me. I didn't abandon you. You left me. All right. So that's where they're at. All right. For this is the word of the promise. At this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, second generation, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. We haven't got to that yet. For though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, babies in the womb don't do things good and bad. They're just, it's reflex motility. They're tied to the mother's physiology, and that's what they're under that. So that God's purpose, according to His choice, would stand. We'll get to the doctrine and review the doctrine or make mention of the doctrine of eternal election. God made choices before we got in the world. He foreknew each and every one of us. He didn't learn about us like we learn about things. He foreknew, that's His attribute of all-knowing. If you don't know the future perfectly, then you're not all-knowing. He knows every detail of the future. He knows what you're thinking right now. Well, I wish He'd shut up so I could go home. Or I really like this. I wish He'd just keep going on. The two extremes. God foreknows everything. How could He judge? How could He judge our works if He didn't? I wasn't in fellowship when I did that. I was. Now I am. So He has to monitor all that. So He can give me the appropriate, and you, the appropriate SG3 package. Because what you do out of fellowship, no matter how wonderful of a job you do it out of fellowship, you get wood, hay, and stubble. All right. So that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls. This is within the context of the salvation adjustment. Salvation is not by good deeds. How many people in the world think today, if I'm a good person and I don't hurt other people and I'm this and this and this, then I'll go to heaven? It's not a merit system, because you couldn't be good enough. You'd have to be as good as God, and I know none of us are. So it can't be works. It's not about pile this up and then we'll see if you got enough to make the difference. No. Many religions teach this. They teach salvation by human good. And some human good we're all for. Others, It was said to her, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written. Now here's for people's ears. Jacob I loved. This is from eternity past. But Esau I've hated. This is just God has some vendetta against Esau. When you study the personality of Esau as he grew up, he loved his parents. Well, there was no warmth between him and Rebekah. But he was all hug people, blah 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 blah. So the reason God hated him, and Jacob was not until some traumatic events occurred. Sometimes that's what it takes for us to get on the beam. He's raised up under all this, but he's not where he needs to be spiritually. He had to flee up to those relatives that Abraham left, their descendants. He had to flee up to Mesopotamia to get away from Esau, who wanted him dead. That's what the second family went through. They went through this. All those years, they never saw Jacob. 20 to be exact. 22 decades, they didn't see Jacob. Where is he? What's going on? But from doctrine, they knew that he would come back. He would live. He would survive. And he'd get the next generation cranked up, which he did up in Mesopotamia, out of the land. When these four women had, well, actually 11 children. One was a girl. And the one born out of season was Benjamin, little Benjamin. He was the last. And Rachel had that baby and she died in childbirth. She got into a different type of reversionism. Just give me more kids. She went to there's a verse in the Bible. She goes to Jacob. Give me kids or I'll die. Now that is so irrational. Give me kids or I'm going to die. And Jacob said, am I God? I am not God. Okay? I don't have some magic so you can have more babies than your sister. And yet God's working through this to get the 12 tribes in place. If you read the end of Genesis, you will read about a prophecy of, you won't understand it all, but before Jacob died, his last act, his last act was buying before Joseph. But before that, he prophesied over all of these boys. They're men now in Egypt. And he said, this is your future. This is what you're like. And he didn't pull any punches because he's inspired of God. He didn't just say things to make all of them happy. He said what was truth. I'm not here to make you happy. I'm here to teach you the truth. If it makes you happy, then that's great. It should. But he was there. Read about it. One of the brothers, he says, you're as unstable as water. So that characteristic was carried into that tribe. Doesn't mean every member of it was that way. It just means it was a general characteristic of each of the tribes and the destiny of each of the 12 tribes. And there are still 12 tribes today, and the Jews still count 12 tribes. Not 13, 12. Now we could argue there's 13. Because the tribe of Joseph is a dual tribe. Joseph, the 10th of the 11th of the sons, Joseph, in Egypt, had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So these two formed the overall tribe of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. It's in your Old Testament. All right. Anyway, back to Abraham. The situation, point five, was such that Abraham was brought to a place where he had not qualified. He had not a qualified heir in his old age, and God appeared to him and promised him a son, heir, through his wife Sarah within the year. Genesis 18, verse 10. And this was the occasion where Abraham is taking siesta under a big tree, this big oak tree, in the heat of the day when people tended to retire from the heat. And it says in the heat of the day, so we know it's dead summer on that year. And he's sitting there under this tree, you know, just... And, you know, I'm sure he meditates a lot on all this. This is all going over in his head. This pressure of not having an heir yet. And all the people in his organization, all the workers, all these people, they're having babies like crazy. And Abraham and Sarah, nothing. It was viewed in the ancient world, and maybe it's still in some cultures today, if a woman doesn't have a child, she's under a curse. There's something wrong. Not that that's always the deal. So Sarah had to bear up under that. When all these women that are in the organization, and of course little Ishmael, yeah, little baby Ishmael, and then all these others showing off their little babies, which people, parents do, and here Sarah sits. Without one to show for it. And then she realizes that she's reached a point, it's not going to happen. I'm sexually dead. And Abraham can't perform. He's sexually dead. Both of them shared the same test. All they could do is sit and stare at each other. When he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men, I'm verse 2, were standing opposite him. Imagine you're sitting there at your tent, you're sitting there next to your tent under this big tree, this famous oak tree, a monster tree. He's sitting under this tree. He's looking down the road. Suddenly, boom, there are three men walking. It isn't like he saw them coming from a hole. They all of a sudden appeared. He knew immediately. This was a divine visitation. And he ran from his tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. He knows one of them is the Lord. You're not supposed to worship angels. He says, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, see his humility, please do not pass your servant by. In other words, I want to show you some hospitality. I just want a brief visit. That's all I want. That's all I'm asking for. Please, let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. That's normal hospitality. The three of them didn't need water, and the three of them didn't need rest. But they're manifesting themselves as humans, so I'm going to take the initiative. And I'm going to do the usual, the token hospitality stuff that people did when they went into homes and places. They provided water to wash their feet because it's dusty out there. And give them some water. So, he said, and he low-keys it, I'll bring you a little piece of bread. You may freshen yourselves, and after that you may go on, since you visited your servant. Just a visit is sufficient for me. And they said, notice this would offend some people. What they said to Abraham was this, do as you said you would. What if you said, I'm not going to do that to you, but it might test you. I thought about it. Jack, I'll bring you a glass of wine and crackers and cheese. Do as you said. You'd probably go, I won't do that to you, okay? But that's what it's like. Do as you've said. So Abraham goes way beyond that. He runs into Sarah. This is where she gets the designation Sarah's daughter. By an action. One action. A husband giving her an order. A directive. And prefacing it with hurry. Now that would kick a lot of women's STA skunk real good. What do you mean hurry? It's hot. It's burning hot. You want me to crank this oven up? Hurry. Quickly. Prepare the measures of fine flour. Knead it and make bread cakes. You know what a lot of women would say? You don't have to tell me how to do this. I know how to do this. I'm just repeating things that you see with people. She doesn't miss a beat. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and choice calf, that's a small animal, gave it to the servant, and he said, you prepare this thing as quick as you've ever done it. All right? Yeah. And he took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and placed them before them. Now, I don't know how long that takes. You don't just butcher a cow or a calf, and you don't just grill it in 2 seconds. So they're just sitting there, you know, drinking their water. They know what's going down. Then they eat their meal. There's a time to talk. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "There in the tent." And they said, "I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." 12 months out, she's going to have this baby. 12 months. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old. We need commentary, don't we? We're old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Boom. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have become old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also?" He calls him my Lord. And that's memorialized in the New Testament. It says, the adjusted female in the royal family recognized that the husband, and she knows all his faults. Oh my God. A wife knows all the faults. She can list them. She called him my Lord, my authority. And she's chuckling on the inside because it seems funny to her that an old woman would be rejuvenated in a phenomenal miracle to make her like a young woman capable of getting pregnant. You know, the last shall be first. Here's another example. They waited all this time. God showing that He's the Lord over the covenant. You've done everything I've told you to do. Now I'm going to do my part. So Sarah's called out. She laughed. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you at this time next year. Sarah's called out. Sarah denied it, however, saying, "I did not laugh." That would be a sin, right? For she was afraid. A lot, sometimes lies are the result of being afraid to tell the truth. What's the Lord going to do to her? I laughed. A laugh of incredulity, perhaps. Even though it was funny, the thought of it all. He said, the leader of the group, Yahweh, "No, but you laughed. See ya, we're going." And so that gets us to the promise. And by that time next year, the situation was reversed. The occasion was the unexpected visit to Abraham's tent by Yahweh and two angels. Abraham, against all odds, believed the promise. He was like a step or so ahead of her spiritually in faith resting this. But she had a whole year to think about it, and she faith rested it. And then the miracle hit her and him simultaneously. She gets pregnant just like that. And we'll pick this up next time. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.